Amen. Thank you, Daniel. That's my son. Fitting on Father's Day to have your son do the scripture reading. And this is also a family service. We do family services once a month where we invite the elementary, junior high, high schoolers to join us in the service. First service, I think Daniel's the only one representing that group, but you'll notice that the message is fashioned for the whole family, so there'll be some things there to keep the interest of the kids, and I find that it works really well for adults, too. My name's Jeff. I'm the discipleship pastor here at Adventure. Welcome if you're visiting this morning, and happy Father's Day to all you dads. Before we jump into that Ephesians passage and start talking about that, I just want to say something about fathers that I think really we miss a lot of times. It's an attribute that all fathers have. It's passed down from generation to generation, and I think it's underappreciated. And so as a dad, I want to just use this opportunity to honor you dads and share this with you. Go ahead and advance that. I don't think I'm... Hey, dads, are we not funny? I guess we're not funny. So, Daniel, you look really sharp this morning. This shirt here, is this material felt?
Yeah, because he's felt it.
Oh, I shouldn't have done it on my own son. It is now. All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Come on, loosen up. It's family service. Father's Day. I had to figure out a way to get that video in here somehow. So as we transition into, here, let's see if this thing's working now. For some reason it doesn't work when you have it turned off. Okay. I'm super excited about this morning because in our series, and if you're visiting or new this morning, we're working through Ephesians, kind of not quite verse by verse, but section by section because we're kind of moving through it. I do recommend that you grab a daily devotional in the back, which we've created to follow us through this. So like this morning, we're going to hit some main points in the passage that Daniel read. But you can kind of go verse by verse and dig into that and spend some time with the Lord in it and get even more out of it. So I encourage you to do that. But what's happening right now, we're at the last part of chapter 3, is Paul's making a transition. And it's a really exciting transition because what he's done up through the end of chapter 3 here is he's been describing what we have, what we possess. And I know kids who are here, got one right here, have also been studying in their Sunday school class the same material and working through Ephesians. And so they're aware as well of some of the things that we've learned that we possess, our inheritance. So feel free to talk in the message, you know, ask questions, speak out. What are some of the things that we've learned so far working up to the end of chapter 3 here that we know that we have, that Paul has been teaching these Ephesians?
Uh-huh. You know, knowing that God chose these people, and you're out, you're on the outside group, and with Christ, you know, to be in the inner circle and included.
Right. So, yeah, adoption. And that's the Jews being the people of God, and now Gentiles, those who were outside of the people of God, have been brought in through faith in Christ. So there's an adoption happening there. What other things do we know about our situation that Paul's described up to this point? That God had a plan. That mystery is what he's been planning all along, right? That adoption. What about being the temple? Okay, it describes us as being the temple of God, citizens of God's people, which you described there, but also that comes with an adoption. Citizens with the nation, but also sons and daughters in the family of God. So he makes this transition. And in the passage that Daniel read, that was a prayer, right? But what we're covering today is Paul's prayer. And it's almost as if, imagine somebody gave you something of power. I mean, we could use something imaginative, like, let's say, the Millennium Falcon, okay, in Star Wars. If you're not familiar with Star Wars, there's this big ship, Millennium Falcon. It's really cool. It's been in the older movies, and it's in the new one. And let's say, you know, somebody's describing all the instrumentation on this thing, how it runs, how you fly it, what it's capable of doing, the firepower, maneuverability. He goes through all of that stuff with you, and you go into the cockpit, and you sit down, and you don't touch anything. And you treat it kind of like a living room, right? It's got a comfy seat, and you sit in it, and you look at all the instrumentation, you look at all the potential that's in front of you every once in a while, and then you get up and you walk out. And then you come back and visit it once a week. Okay? There's that scenario, but in this prayer, it's like Paul says, he's already laid out everything in there in the first three chapters, and then he's praying that God would start flipping the switches on and turning the dials and engaging the power. And you heard Daniel say power several times in that. Paul's praying for the power to be engaged. He's saying it's time to fly. And we're going to learn starting in next week what it looks like to fly with the power that he's described leading up to that. Now, when I say power, there's different levels of power, right? There's a firecracker, there's a stick of dynamite, or there's a nuclear bomb, okay? When I say power, I'm not so much talking about this kind of power. Oh, we got to have audio on this. You got it ready?
Yeah. This is my rocket. I put fins on it to make it fly straight. I didn't put a nose cone on it because I figured if I tried to make a nose cone, I'd mess it up. And it would just fly really bad. So I just want to see how this works out. I think it'll do it all right, actually.
Yeah! I'm not talking about that power. I'm talking about okay, just wanted to be clear on what kind of power we're talking about here that Paul is praying for. Okay, so let's pray as well that the Holy Spirit would open up just wisdom and understanding to this incredible prayer that we're studying this morning. So God, as we're going to learn in this prayer from Paul and the wisdom and insight that you've given him, Power comes from your spirit. Power comes understanding of all kinds of different things, different ways of interacting with you come through your spirit's power. And so understanding your word this morning in Ephesians, we need your spirit. This isn't an intellectual wrestling match with your word. This is a submission to your spirit giving us understanding. And so we recognize that, and we ask that you would give us power to understand what you're saying to us this morning in the scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's get started. And we'll just kind of take it a few verses at a time. So Ephesians 14:15 says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name." Okay, so first part of that is "for this reason." I recommend that you turn to Ephesians chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, maybe on your phone, or you could raise your hand, and Susan's got some Bibles back there. So for this reason, he kneels, right? Go to chapter 3, the very first verse of this chapter, and it says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles..." And then he goes into, "Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace." And he basically sums up a lot of what he's been teaching about our position. So he's been on his knees. He started this prayer at the beginning of the chapter, and he's just now at the end of it getting back to it, right? Like a true pastor. He wanted to review a few things before he went into the prayer. But now that's what that "for this reason," because you got to understand what the reason is. Or you could just read that and go, "For this reason I kneel before the Father." Well, what reason? And the reason he lays out last week, we were talking about that, the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of Jew and Gentile being brought into fellowship with God together. So for this reason, I kneel before the Father. We see reverence here. And that's not a prescription that we can stand. We see that in Scripture, standing and praying. We can pray to the Lord as we lay on our beds, right? We can kneel, we can sit. It's the reverence in your heart as you approach God, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And that's a significant statement. There's a lot to a name. If you think about the origin of your name, in ancient times, and even not so ancient times, names often mean something and are given for a reason. And you see that a lot in the Bible. It'll describe a name. A certain name was given to somebody because of an attribute that they have, maybe because of their character. Maybe it's because of the role that God wants to use them in his story. And that's a lot of times where you'll see God renaming people in accordance with the role that he's calling them up to or he's calling them into. And so we see that with Jacob being called Israel, Peter with Simon, and he's called Peter the Rock. Saul becomes Paul. Sarai becomes Sarah, and many other examples of that. So a name is significant, and what we're learning right here is, where did your name come from, really? Who you are? Where's your origin? Every family in heaven and on earth, okay? Whose family? God's family. Derives its name from him, from the Father. So you come from good stock, okay? I think of, as we work through this prayer this morning, I kind of think of the picture of a tree, a plant. And we'll use a tree for an example. And starting with the image of what does a tree start as? A seed. And where that seed came from is going to determine what? It's going to determine, yeah, what kind of tree it's going to be, how big it's going to get, how much shade it's going to provide, protection from rain, how long it's going to live, what kind of fruit it's going to have. And so as we move into the rest of this, I don't know if that's blocking you guys. Kind of work from over here. Let's think about it as a tree. Okay? And we're going to work through the different parts of a tree with these verses. And so Paul's kind of opened this up, letting us know that he's praying to the Father for this. That's where he's asking for it. And he goes right into it. I pray that out of the Father's glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. So glorious riches. And we see Ephesians 1, we learned several weeks ago, says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. So there's an explanation of this great inheritance, but Paul wants it to be activated now to where we would really know it and live out of it. So if you got a document in the mail, you know, an envelope, and it said, inheritance, you know, your name, inheritance, would you even be curious, you know, and it's from great uncle, whoever, who maybe passed away, would you even be curious to open it and see what's inside? And going that far to open it, would you, maybe if you read it and it said that you just inherited $35 million, but you need to call this number and, you know, do a couple of steps, I mean, would you be willing to take those steps to do that, to kind of cash them? You would. As long as they, yeah. As long as they don't tell you that your Microsoft Windows is broken or something. Yes, you'd want to take that next step. Well, Paul's saying here, okay, we're asking a Father who has an abundance and is going to give out of it, okay? Out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And power is going to show up in almost every verse in this passage. He starts with power. He ends with power. As you receive power, it gives you power to receive more power. You'll see it all connected to the power. And where is the power coming from? What's the source of the power? The Spirit. Okay? So I put that on the trunk because it's speaking of strengthening. He wants us to be strengthened. And I think of the strength of the tree. Now, the endurance of the tree might come from the roots, but I see the strength of the tree in its trunk because that's holding the whole structure. That's the pillar of the tree, and it holds those branches out there and the leaves so they can do their thing with photosynthesis, and it transports everything good from the ground up to the tree. So let's continue down to the roots. In verse 17, Paul says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. Okay, and we're going to stop there and then we'll keep going. Rooted and established in love. So he's praying that they would be rooted and established in love. How do you be rooted and established in love? What does that look like? You don't have to have an answer if you don't know. You're going to learn right now. If we look at 1 John 4, and I can just read this to you. There's a few verses in there that kind of touch on the same idea, same picture. And you think of, I think of roots, you know, if a tree's going to be healthy, the roots need to be in soil, right? You can't just take a root ball and just throw it on top of the ground. 1 John says, God is love, okay? Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. Like roots in soil. The roots are in the soil, but the soil is absorbing into the roots. And there's this, even this picture that Paul uses, he uses rooted. Rooted speaks to horticulture, right? Established speaks to a foundation or a building. You're laying the foundation of this thing. It's going to be built on love. And so you're going to be established in it. He also says a couple verses later, in this way, love is made complete among us. This is in 1 John 4, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. Verse 19 says, we love because he first loved us. So rooted in love means we start with understanding Christ's love for us. Have you ever found that to be the case, that somebody in your life who's maybe really difficult to love, I mean, just to be honest, they're hard to love. They're like a porcupine. When you feel God's love for you, you're actually able to extend that love genuinely, not just, it's the Christian thing to do to love this person, so I love them. But you really feel like you can love them even as they're being very difficult to love. but it comes from understanding Christ's love. And what we're learning here from Paul's prayer to the Ephesians is he's basically saying we're going to have to go to on our knees to the Father to even understand and be rooted in that love. You're not just going to do it. You're not going to just be able to love, understand God's love, and love others. So that's the root. Over here we have, so here, let me start by reading the end of this so it makes sense. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power. Here's power coming again. So we needed power to get power. Together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Okay, now we're talking about grasping it. An amazing thing about a tree or a plant is photosynthesis. Most people familiar with that process? I mean, maybe not exactly everything that happens or what's produced. But you think about the power of the sun. I mean, the sun is destroying things on the earth, right? Just the power of it. Destroys your skin if you're out in it long enough. But a tree that's rooted in the good soil with water and nutrients, everything it needs, can put all these little leaves out, these sun catchers, and it doesn't get fried. It actually takes some of that power of the sun and turns it into, I think it turns it into glucose. I looked that up just before the service. So don't think I'm really smart. But it's taking that, and then what does it put off? It puts off oxygen, which actually benefits the rest of the earth. Okay? I'm not trying to draw the analogy too close, but there's a lot of cool things that kind of come up in my mind about that as us as Christians, right? How do we catch this incredible power, this overwhelming size and volume of God's love for us? It's going to take power, okay? And what happens with that tree is it captures all of that, transfers it down into the tree, and keeps the system moving and going. But it's amazing that it can do that with something that's so powerful that has the power to just fry stuff. I mean, you look in the desert, and you see what the sun can do, and yet you look at this big, beautiful green tree, if you're in Washington, that's catching the sun. Or in Washington, it's usually catching light that's filtered through clouds. But it still is coming from the sun. Trust me, it's up there. But thank you, Lord, we have a beautiful day today for Father's Day. Okay, so see if I made all my points on that one. So like I was talking about, somebody who may be difficult to love, think of a rebellious child, okay? Do their parents love them? Absolutely. Do they understand in their rebellion the depth of that love? Do they grasp it? Can they understand it? Is it possible for somebody to love you and you to not understand fully how much they love you? Okay, that's human relationships. And what Paul's revealing here in his prayer is for himself, for the Ephesians, we haven't even tapped the surface of the size of this love that God has for us. And that's why he's going to prayer for it. And it's very revealing for us of what we can do to start grasping it, which is to pray for it. Verse 19 says, "And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Okay? Now he's really driving it home. Now I don't care, this is for you kid in here, if you have a head like Megamind, okay? And Daniel, you don't have a head like Megamind, and you should be thankful for that. This dude can't figure it out. I don't care how big your brain is. You're not going to be able to understand through studying, simply through studying. I mean, there's atheists who are way more aware of Scripture than I am. When I say aware, like, they can quote verses, they memorized it, they're just brainiacs, okay? But the Spirit of God is going to break through and help you understand what the Word is saying. And get out of here, mega mind. Okay, so what we're learning here is he's going to the Father with the authority that he has through Christ, that position that Christ has given him, for God to give him power through the Spirit that lives in him. So we see God working. It's one God working all of this amazing stuff. Because that's the only way you can know something that surpasses knowledge. Okay? that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So what's the measure in this prayer that he's asking for us to be filled up to? The fullness of God. Okay? What measure do we use sometimes? I mean, I'm guilty of this. I think maybe most of us are. When we're measuring how full we are in our walk with God, in our relationship with him, in our faith, oftentimes we use measurements of other people. Well, they swear sometimes and I don't swear, or, you know, I go to church like every Sunday and they go like 3 Sundays a month. They don't go at all. They totally don't understand this part of scripture and they're kind of off in their belief on that. Man, I'm feeling pretty full. Or other way around, right? Man, I'm empty because that person, when they pray, I can sense the power of the Spirit is just leading them, and man, I get stumble on my words and I just can't get it out right. And so, you know, if I could get to that level of where they're at, then I'd really be full. I'd reach the fullness of this life with Christ that's available. And Paul's just like leveling all of those thoughts and saying, no, the goal is the fullness of God. That's what's available to us. That's the measurement that he's using. It's what we should be using as well. Now, not to try and work towards, but to ask God for. And next week is super exciting because we're going to start moving. We're going to start talking about what it looks like to move in this, to fly the Millennium Falcon. And one of the things that he says, even in next week's passage, is that the goal is that the church would be mature and attaining to the full measure of Christ. So that's the goal that we're working towards, is the full measure of Christ. That's a big statement. So it's important that we understand the measurement that we're using. One other illustration with that, with filled or knowing, moving from knowing about something to really experiencing it. If you think about a kiss, okay, this illustration isn't for the kids. Okay, so like on your wedding day, you know, and that first time that you kiss your fiance. Okay, so let's just picture that, kids. Okay, you can know what a kiss is, right? You can watch it in a movie or see your parents kiss, or but until you, I'm testing it on this service. I might not use this illustration next service. So there's going to be like 50 kids in here. But once you kiss somebody, right? Jeff, you like this illustration. Once you kiss somebody, you move from knowing about a kiss to understanding and experiencing it, right? What Paul's doing in this prayer is he wants them to move from knowing and understanding their position. Because that's great to know that. But like, let's cash this in. Let's live out of this inheritance instead of just know that we have it. And that's really what he's praying here. So he finishes out with, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So he's basically ending this prayer with bragging on Dad and saying, yeah, I just asked for a lot. I just asked for you to be empowered to understand fully how big God's love is. And I've asked that you would be filled to the fullness of God. And God can back it up. And why? To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever, amen. As we move into that more and more, as we ask God to fill us as a church, you know, he was asking the Ephesian church, but really all the saints, you know, through all generations, as we ask God to fill us, the church is here to glorify God. And the way we glorify God is to be filled with all of his fullness by the power of the Spirit. So that's the prayer. That's what we're seeking. If you're striving and just not seeing it happen, you might not be taking Paul's approach, which is to get on his knees and ask the Father for that power. And that's what we have. And that's exciting because that makes me excited, not only in my individual life walking with God, but together with all of you, what we're doing, what we're moving into constantly is more and more glorifying God by his fullness being in us. And where we don't see that, we do what Paul did. We get on our knees and we ask for more of it. So what I would love to do this morning as we wrap up the message here is get on my knees and pray this over the church. So you can sit, you can stand, you can kneel, but would you be all right with me praying for this? Yeah, I'm praying it for myself too. But let's seek the Father like Paul and ask him to do this. So, Father, I come before you, and for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.